Hello everyone, and welcome back to Maya's Reviews, a book podcast and blog where I review all types of novels. I'm Maya, and thank you for joining me for another episode today. And normally I would say review there, but today I actually interviewed someone instead of reviewed something. I had the lovely opportunity to chat with Benjamin Ryan about his novel, Beckoning of the Gate, the first novel in the Valyrian Threads, I think is how you say it. I should have asked. And I would also like to mention that I apologize for how weird the audio sounds. I don't know exactly what happened. Zoom kind of messed up my audio, but you can understand what I'm saying, but my mic just wasn't operating correctly. Nothing was operating correctly for me, but I hope you enjoyed this episode, and without further ado, here is the interview. For those that haven't read Beckoning of the Gate, can you describe your novel?
I can. First and foremost, I guess it's a high fantasy story. So for people that don't know what high fantasy is, it means a story or a book that's in a fabricated sort of land. Similar books might be like The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, or other books like Sabriel by Garth Nix. The story itself is about a young woman who finds an ancient key, and then she realizes that by touching it, she awakens something very old and very powerful. To uncover its secrets, she then ventures from her home into a dark and quite dangerous world. And she hasn't seen that sort of stuff before, except in the stories of her childhood. So it's a bit of an adventure, but it's a bit of a scary one too.
I would agree. I know reading it, there was just this huge sense of adventure, and it felt like I was traveling with the characters. So it was awesome. What is your favorite aspect of your novel?
This one was a hard sort of question, I guess, overall. I was thinking about this and that I feel that there's a lot of things. If I had to break it down to one thing, my absolute favorite, it's the folklore. My writing was influenced quite significantly by Gaelic and Irish folklore, at least in the beginning. It sort of changed a little bit since then, but also traditional fairy tales. Which have been around for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years. My greatest sort of, or favorite sort of component of that was how these tales dictated my writing. And they're very different to our understanding of current or more modern fairy tales. These older ones, which were normally sort of childhood stories, were darker, they were morose. And they had harsh lessons for these children to warn them off doing things which parents would consider reckless. So similar to like our boogeyman in modern era, I think, but it has a bit more of a rich historical influence and superstitions of cultures that birthed them in the first place. So for me, folklore, definitely my favorite aspect.
That's amazing. Like I haven't learned much about folklore, and I haven't heard much about it, but your world building was fantastic, and there were definitely like so many, like it's truly unique, where it was completely new to me, so that was fantastic to read about. What was the inspiration behind Beckoning of the Gate?
There were a couple of inspirations. The biggest one was an author when I was a bit younger. So I was 12 years old when I came across a book. It was called The Ill Made Mute, and it was written by an Australian author, Cecilia Dart Thornton. I had already had quite a significant number of books by that age, mostly in young adult and fantasy sort of fiction, but I hadn't ventured into adult books at all at that stage. So one of my aunties, a lot of women in my life have sort of influenced me around this, but my aunties in particular, she told me in particular, one of them, to give it a go. So I did, but it didn't work. It didn't actually sink in. it felt, I think my undeveloped brain, it was too complex. The stories, the content, it was interesting, but I just couldn't process it. So I did put it down, I put it away. Fast forward maybe a year, that was all it took, I guess. 13-year-old me, I found the book again and I gave it another go. And it was like a key. It was like key clicking inside a lock. It sort of opened up and everything suddenly made sense. And the richness of the story, the prose in particular, for such a young mind, was very awe-inspiring. She also used she was influenced significantly by Irish and Scottish folklore, and it blew me away. I didn't realize, because I'd grown up watching Disney and that sort of stuff too, but to actually see these stories of ages gone past, I guess it was awesome. And there's that moment I actually fell in love with writing, I think, and not just the reading process. The second inspiration was from a very captivating, probably very magical sort of book called Fairies by Brian Froud and Alan Lee. And it was first published in the 1970s, so around about then. And it was actually gifted to me by another one of my aunts when I was about 9 or 10 years old. And as you can imagine, my mother and her sisters were quite influential when I was growing up. And the book itself, it's wonderful drawings and the influences they've actually had around the world, which is the movie called Labyrinth, with the elf, the Goblin King and everything. And then also, yeah.
David Bowie.
yeah. It had great influences for that sort of stuff over that time. So he also did The Dark Crystal. So you can see the influences behind it. And that's alien, but also somehow natural, I guess, sort of influence. And that book itself continues to inspire me until this day, actually. So, yeah.
I think that's amazing that, you know, so many things just kind of found their way into your life and then you were able to get into writing, especially with your aunts and the people in your life. I know, like, when I was younger, I would get gifted books for Christmas and, you know, and that's how I got into reading. And so family can really push you into stuff. And I think that's awesome that you found your passion writing through that. What is the hardest part of the writing process for you?
The hardest part, consistency for me. Just sitting down and writing is probably the hardest part for me. Not that I'm a necessarily chronic procrastinator. I don't think so anyway. I guess it's kind of like thinking you're not a hoarder when you actually do. I guess it's outside perspectives. But I do tend to only want to write when I'm inspired. Now, for people that haven't written before, I guess, then it's a surefire way of getting no writing done whatsoever. When I was growing up too, I also had a lot of anxiety. And because of that anxiety, and still with me today, I guess, but it doesn't want me to get stuff done. It's a self-saboteur as well, in that sort of sense. And it's that voice that sort of says to you that you're not good enough, that your writing's not good enough. And when you look at it, it actually makes it really hard to read what you've written and be objective enough to continue writing. So I actually work as a physiotherapist full-time, and I was studying full-time straight from high school. So I was 17 years old when I started my degree. And so I got straight into it. So it was really hard to find the time. So being consistent was the biggest barrier in that sort of sense with the time I had. And it's taken a long time to get to this point. So I found that the way to actually overcome this was to plot and not be a pantser, which is someone that just writes as it comes across to them, you know. And since I've plotted my second and third book, it's just much easier. So characters, story, background, and the world building, all that sort of stuff. And I've just recently finished some chapter summaries, which is great. And it's been very useful, I found. And I hope to carry that through with that consistency and good practice in 2022. So definitely consistency, hardest thing for me personally.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am a huge procrastinator. So I completely get that.
Yep.
Yeah, like being able to sit down and read for me is a huge issue, which is funny because my entire thing is I review books. So kind of need to read them before. So yeah, being able to just sit down and do something is very hard. So that's awesome that you've been able to find out a way to just push through and get stuff done. So now that we've gone over the hardest part of writing, what is your favorite part of writing?
I think it's a process that's actually really nice. Because of that anxiety it's built up with me, especially during high school and everything too, it was actually a bit of a release. So I think being able to pour yourself onto a page, all these ideas and thoughts that run through your head, they're quite rampant sometimes, especially my own consciousness. And that writing process helps me to do that, to just pour it out. And it feels like a bit of a pressure valve sort of being released, or like lifting a lid of something, like boiling water, for instance. And so you lift that lid off and it doesn't boil over. So writing process is kind of like that. So it's cathartic, and if I'm in a good groove in particular, I can actually feel the elation and seeing these words form into coherent sentences and paragraphs. So for me, when it's good, it's really good. The process, it's really helpful. It's very therapeutic.
It's like an escape for you.
Like fantasy is an escape. So the writing itself, because I write fantasy, you get to live in your world you created, which is awesome.
I guess I never really thought about that before, how when you're writing a book, like you can just, I mean, like it's pretty simple. Like you can make up whatever you want, but you can make up whatever you want. You can just escape wherever. So that's, I'm sure that's a great, just, it's like a diary. You just write what you want. So.
Because there's the world building and everything, because you're always thinking about stuff. You're always thinking about what this particular character, things that will never see the light of day in a book, but you know it. And so therefore it has the influences, even if the readers don't necessarily see it up front, you might start to get ideas of what the culture is behind it and why this particular character acts the way they do, even though you never really delve into their background. They're more of a side character. There's these thoughts and processes going on in the background, and that's part of it.
What is your favorite character in Beckoning of the Gate?
It's going to be surprising. I think some people are thinking to themselves, I definitely know what most people's favorite characters is. And it's Santha's companion, Beyond. And she is everyone's favorite. Everyone's told me that's the norm for everyone, is that they really, really loved her and her development. For me, my favorite character, because I know about her more intrinsically, is Madame Vorsha. Some people don't know is that the world is influenced by a lot of real world cultures and societies from our own history and records. So you've got influences from Sarah Torah, which is your English Irish sort of going on there. And then you've got your Gaelic and Scandinavian influences for Gorus. Latin and French influences, like the romantic languages, that's Kallig. But the one of the most unique ones, and probably closer to my own sort of home, is the Indian and Sri Lankan influences for Vera. And this is why the language and the names might be hard to pronounce overall too, is that they are challenging, because they come from different parts of the world, and they're not just proto-English, they are mixed and altered and adjusted by me. But going back to Vorsha, is that she is very close to my heart, in the sense that my grandmother is Anglo-Indian. She was born in the colonies before India got its independence. We actually have a bit of Sri Lankan blood from her family, and from my grandfather as well, that she married. So Vorsha herself is a bit of an amalgam, and she's sort of my grandmother, my mother, and her sister. So all that part of the family, the mannerisms, sometimes logical, sometimes compassionate, but always very strong in that sense too. So Vorsha sees to the heart of things, and that's what I really like about her. Kind of like these strong women through my life, I guess, saw to the heart of things and were so influential for me as well. So I guess the little hint there is that I guess she's such a fantastic character that I like her so much. So she may or may not be appearing later on in the trilogy. So we'll have to wait and see.
Hopefully. I think that's awesome, though, because you can definitely tell that there's so many strong and powerful women in Beckoning of the Gate. I mean, you have Santha, and her companion was actually my favorite because just so adorable and just sassy and amazing, and really added some humor to Santha's journey. So, but I think that's really fantastic how you have just you've taken inspirations from your life and really made them come to life in your book. And so that's fantastic to me because it makes it more personal, I feel, you know? What is your favorite book or series?
Favorite book or series? They're probably sort of, probably have to break it up into two things. So something old and something new in a sense, mm-hmm. then too. So I'd say that obviously the most influential series for me was the Bitterbind trilogy by Cecilia Dark Thornton, with all those influences of folklore, the Gaelic, Scottish, Irish, tales that I sort of read and then grew up with them now, which I didn't realize I'd done that. So the Bitterbind trilogy, with the first book, is called The Ill-Made Mute. The other thing was the probably newer and more recent, The Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, which I mentioned previously. Brandon Sanderson, I've started following him on Facebook, is unbelievable. Just the way his work ethic and his ability to pump out books. His books are huge. So you look at the scope of them and how big they are. They're probably three times at least the size of my book normally, is how they each novel that he writes. And he can probably write about 16,000 words in one day, for instance. So he's quite a prolific sort of author, and the world building in it is just fantastic. I've actually, funnily enough, I've actually already met to a certain degree Cecilia Dark Thornton. Actually, we started chatting online now as well, and she's been giving me little tips and prodding me in the right way. And funnily enough, she's actually started to use my she's now used my illustrator, my cover artist, to do, she wants to re-release her original trilogy, The Bitterbind, and she's got the cover artist doing her books now too, her covers, which I think is pretty awesome. So I was fanboying very hard over here, very hard. So yeah, that's overall for me, yeah. So that's definitely fantasy, but two different ones. You got your Bitterbind, which is more your fairy tale folklore, and then Stormlight Archives, which is definitely your epic, huge epic fantasies.
I was going to say too, your cover is fantastic. It's amazing. It really just draws someone in, like even if they haven't read the description of your novel, it just brings it to life too.
Absolutely. It's the cover artist is Nino Israel. He's a Parisian fellow I met online through Instagram, and the process was incredible, actually. He was very took a lot of information, asking questions, prodding and probing basically the entire time to get the scene just right before he went through the full color of it. And I knew from the beginning that I wanted an older style cover, in a sense that it would be a sweeping cover back to front. So you'll actually see the back behind cover as well. If you get a physical copy, you can see everything. And it shows you a complete scene. And yeah, the process itself was great. And yeah, I'm very impressed by Nino. Definitely going to do that again for book two.
I hope so, because that would be amazing. So speaking of the rest of your series, what are your goals or hopes for it?
Well, to be more timely, people that know me know I've been writing since I was about 15. The process itself took a long time because of all the stuff I was trying to do. I'm still working as a physiotherapist, and finding time, I guess, is going to be the biggest challenge. So I want to be more timely with regards to my writing, and make sure it's not another 15 years before I get the next book out. I want to try and do it before I turn 40 would be great. But the idea of the Vielian Threads is that it will be distinctly a trilogy, at least with a bit of a twist in a sense. Kind of like the Chronicles of Narnia, how it provides you with generational sort of gaps or different sort of characters' perspectives. That's how the threads will be. So every book itself will have a different protagonist with a relatively complete story arc within that book. So that means that each book itself will be sort of a standalone, with an overarching plot, which will tie in all the stories together. So I actually started plotting book two and three about 3 or 4 years ago, and have commenced the writing. So I'm actually at about, for this book two, at about 40,000 words or so, which I'm revising. I'm going to revise first before I keep writing. The title for the second book, working title, which will probably stick, I think, it's called Princeling. And it's set about 70 years after Beckoning of the Gate. So it sort of gives you a bit of an idea then, oh, okay, well, it's going to be altering and changing things a little bit. The final book will for continuity, I did the final book as well, to make sure I was able to plot things and have continuity throughout the whole series. And the final one will be from two characters' perspectives. So we'll hopefully with a satisfying conclusion of the overarching story. The series itself, obviously, because you've got characters who are short-lived and you've got characters who are long-lived, so there'll be some characters you will definitely see again, and there'll be some characters that you definitely won't see again just because of the time gaps. And I know that was a bit of heartache for some people because I know people get really attached, but hopefully it will be still satisfying. And I guess I'll leave it up to the imagination of the readers, such as yourself, to guess who might be returning and who sadly won't be. Fingers crossed.
I think people get so attached to your characters too because they're so realistic. Obviously, it's a fantasy novel, so the stuff that they go through wouldn't happen in our world, but they're realistic as people. So it makes it even more, e it makes it so much easier to relate with them and to connect with them. But I'm really excited for the rest of your trilogy. So hopefully. I can read those as they come out. And my final question, what advice do you have for aspiring authors?
Oh, okay. I guess it's things that I wish I'd known earlier, which may not have listened to because, youth and making mistakes and not understanding the repercussions. But it's been probably over a decade. There's certain things which have resonated with me, and learning from my own mistakes has been, a long process. But I guess I have three tips which I think is probably integral to my own writing, and I've tried to incorporate into them. So with different levels of success, depending on the day and how I'm feeling. But the first one was just plotting rather than pantsing. So as I was saying before, a pantser, and people that write will probably understand, a pantser is someone that writes with no overall goal in mind. They just want to try and write. And that can be helpful to someone. Particularly if they're not doing structured writing, or they're just trying to do exercises, tone their skills. And that's how I started writing my first book, which started off as a short story. But the plotting itself will make you think ahead. It will make you make it continuous and make sure you're not missing stuff, or changing things up. And it doesn't allow the story to get away or too far away from you. The second thing is consistency. So scheduling a time and time to write. Even if you only get the pad out or a Word document and you just read through what you've done before, even writing, and I've seen people sort of say 100 words a day or 100 words every second day, every third day is better than nothing. So consistency, it does help. And it's kind of like people going through meditation with anxiety. It's like, it's kind of like when you, the more you practice a car, for instance, you get to the point where it becomes habit and you don't have to even worry about it or even have any sort of future thoughts about it. It just becomes part of your life. The other one is probably my advice is that writers are rewriters. And this just reminds me not to get bogged down by what I've written already, which I tend to do. That's my biggest thing, is trying to tweak things before it's even necessary to do. So don't get bogged down by what you've written already. Rather that there will be plenty of time to review it later and not get stuck on the editing and re-editing processes, because that will be basically the means of not finishing anything. You want to get any writing done then if you just keep going back on what you've done, what you've already written. So keep forging ahead, always forwards. So a question for you, was there, because you talked about pronunciation stuff, mm-hmm. and like I was saying, I'm Australian, so my pronunciation is probably quite different to American or even British English, but were there any particular words or characters or anything like that you wanted some clarity on that you were thinking about?
Yes. So Santha's Companion, because I pronounced it, while I was reading it, I was pronouncing it Bionad, like really weird. And then I think during my review, I pronounced like every single word wrong. So
so the character itself, so basically for her name, you just pronounce it as you sort of see it with sort of like the H sound forming like a soft H. So it's like a beyond sort of, and it's kind of like beyond, but softer, beyond.
Okay, awesome. I was sitting there before recording my review and I was like, how am I gonna say that on air? I was trying to work it through my head and I was like, we'll just roll with it as it comes up. And then I got to it and I was like, I don't know what to say.
I got one for you. This one was pronounced a particular way in my head, but not a lot of readers will pronounce it a bit differently. So what would you call the capital of Saratora? What's the capital? Do you remember?
I don't.
That's okay. So some people pronounced it Barisolus, and then some people pronounced it Barisolus. So I guess the fun thing is that some of them do have relatively hard pronunciation, some of them don't. And I think that depends on the country that you would be from. Mm. And so I think that even Kalig and Garusians would pronounce the capital differently as well. The final one, which I think some people have trouble with, is Herodias Philippe Moreau. And he is got Latin and French influences with his name. So Herodias, obviously from Latin Roman, but everyone just calls him Herod. So there you go.
Okay. See, I was saying Erod. I'm glad you cleared that up. Okay.
See, and that's perfectly okay, because I think that's kind of fun, how people actually interpret and pronounce stuff, because there's no like, yes, it's set in relatively real world sort of scenarios, but I adjust them too, and you can take your own. It's fantasy, and that's what's so great about fantasy, is that it doesn't have to fit one particular pigeonhole. It doesn't necessarily, yeah, you know, get shoehorned in. It can actually be interpreted however you want.
Yeah, and thank you for the glossary at the end, because I referred to that very often throughout my review. I was like, because I have the Kindle app on my phone, and so I was like, I was looking at my highlights, and I was like, okay, yeah, we'll use that pronunciation. And I still screwed it up, but but thank you for putting that in there.
You're welcome.
And thank you for coming on the podcast and answering my questions. I hope you have a good, productive time writing.
Fingers crossed, yes.
Yeah, hopefully 2022 is a good year for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And that is the end of my interview with Benjamin Ryan, author of Beckoning of the Gate. If you haven't listened to my review of Beckoning of the Gate, make sure you go check that out. It was only a little bit ago, so should be too hard to find, hopefully. But if you did enjoy this episode, please check out my blog, Maya's Reviews, at mayagreviews.wordpress.com. You can also find me at Maya the Bookworm on Twitter, Goodreads, BookBub, and Book Sirens. I'm also on Tumblr at Maya Reviews. If you want me to review your book or want to come on the podcast to discuss the novel, maybe even just reach out to me, you can email me at mayagbookreviews@gmail.com. I do ask that if you are reaching out in regards to a review request, interview, collab, blog tour, or anything publicity related, that you check out my publicity request page on my blog first and then email me. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading!